Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, exclusively on WGNS Talk Radio.
Back here on Rutherford Issues to talk with Jessica Clark. She is the development coordinator for JDRF, and we always like to start off, Jessica, by letting you explain exactly what JDRF stands for.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
And for giving me this opportunity to tell the community a little bit about JDRF. We are the organization formerly known as Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. We've come to adapt and change and actually just go by the shortened JDRF now to reflect the fact that a disease once known as juvenile diabetes is now known as type 1 diabetes. You know, a long time ago, it was mostly children that were being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease where the body, the immune system kind of goes overboard and attacks the pancreas and completely kills the cells that produce insulin. So nowadays, we're finding people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and even 50s being diagnosed with the autoimmune type or type 1. So we're no longer really using juvenile because it's not really accurate. A lot of times people will say, oh, with juvenile diabetes, don't you grow out of that? And the answer is no. People with type 1 diabetes, once they have it and once they're diagnosed, they never grow out of it and they have to take insulin injections for the rest of their life.
So the ones that who are younger, who I guess are technically juveniles, but they have to take this insulin for as long as they live.
Exactly. And, you know, part of the warning signs that we see when a child is diagnosed, or really anyone, but a child in this situation, they lose weight rapidly. They start wetting the bed again. If they've been potty trained, they'll see a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old start wetting the bed again. You know, if you have a child, if you have a friend's child having any of these symptoms, or they have a flu where they're throwing up and they just can't knock it, probably a good opportunity to take them to the pediatrician, get their blood sugar tested, and see what's going on there. But they do. Every time they have a meal, they have to count the carbohydrates and give an injection of insulin. In our body, you and I, who have a healthy pancreas, when we eat a sandwich, our body knows how many carbs are in that bread, and it doses the proper amount and stores that energy for future use. With people who don't have any insulin and have a non-working pancreas, they have to measure it and do all the complicated math and give themselves the injections. Or we now have an insulin pump, which is really cool because instead of having an injection, they just have to change their site, like through a catheter, once every few days.
You know, I have run into so many different people that I would have never known have this type of diabetes, but I found out by watching them increase the insulin on their little pump that looks like an old pager for those who, know what those look like. And it's very small, but sometimes it may catch your attention just because you see something like that.
And that's what's happening. Unfortunately, there are more and more people being diagnosed. It does look funny. You might see it looks like an iPhone attached to your belt, mm-hmm. except there's tubing, you know, and they're kind of like, where does that tube go? Well, it goes to a site where you receive insulin. One really cool thing now is they have something called a pod, where it's much smaller. It's about the size of half of a boiled egg, if you will. And that actually can go anywhere in your body, and that just holds the insulin. And the computer, then you can put that in your purse or your backpack or whatever. And so you don't have to always be attached to the big computer.
Oh, wow.
That's about the size of a deck of cards. But the insulin and the computer system now can talk remotely. So technology is getting better. All of the research that this wonderful community is funding is going to improve the lives and just make lives for people with type 1 diabetes even better and better until a cure is found.
We're talking with Jessica Clark today, development coordinator for JDRF, and I mentioned that more and more people in my life, I have come to find out, have type 1, and there's a young man at church, a couple who's been at our church maybe for 6 months or so, and just realized that he has to, I saw him prick his finger to, you know, check his blood sugar, you know, and he's, I guess, maybe 8. Mm-hmm. And so this, you know, just to think that this is something he's got to live with for the rest of his life.
You know, when it affects a family and an 8-year-old, it's such a you know, the whole family gets involved. Mm-hmm. The cousins, the best friends, the neighbors, the kids your child plays sports with. It's one of these diseases that, yes, there is life support. Insulin really helps extend their life, but it still is a chronic illness with deadly complications. So, you know, you see an entire community rally around these kids and help them to feel like this isn't going to stop you. We're going to give you all the tools and you're going to be able to do everything you want in life, whether it's sports or become a doctor or, you know, whatever it is, like, dream big, you know, and because type 1 diabetes is not going to, it's not going to stop you. It's going to make your life harder and more inconvenient. But we need a cure for them because we don't want them to have all the complications that come with it later in life. We're so excited for all the support in this community.
Is there a time when maybe someone becomes immune to the insulin that they receive, or do they change that, or how does that work?
Well, you know, through your lifetime, your hormones change, you go through puberty, you're in your 20s, your metabolism slows down. I would say that yes, every day your insulin needs are different depending on, you know, are you fighting off a cold? You know, different things change every single day. It's like waking up every day to a brand new disease. Mm-hmm. And you really have no idea how that same, let's say a piece of pizza, you don't know how that's going to affect you from yesterday to today based on your activity level. So there's a lot of different factors that play into it. But I would say the more active a person is, and this goes with type 2 diabetes too, this is where the two diseases that share half of part of their name, this is where they are the same, is that you have to watch your blood sugar, because when you eat something with carbohydrates, whether it be a sweet potato, an apple, or bread, or anything that has carbohydrates in it, if you're going to go run that off, like if a child is very involved in sports, they'll need less insulin because they need that energy. Mm-hmm. If you're an adult and you have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, it's because you have too much energy from your food and not enough activity. So that is actually a metabolic disorder where you can control it through medicine or sometimes, you know, insulin injections. But the more active you are and the more you watch your sugar and carbohydrate intake, the less insulin you will need.
But insulin is insulin. I mean, it's the same that as what your body produces.
It is the same. There are other things the pancreas produces that people with type 1 diabetes also don't have. There are some other hormones that the endocrine system helps to absorb that insulin. But yeah, as you get older, you might need more as your activity level slows down. But as you get bigger, you need more because you're a bigger person.
Right. Jessica Clark is with us. She is the development coordinator for JDRF, and just talking about type 1 diabetes. You know, it's almost like the silent disease. I mean, many times people are dealing with this day in and day out, and their friends and family may not even know that they suffer.
You know, that's true, because I think in all the people that I've met with type 1 diabetes, I do not personally have it, and my children do not have it. You know, knock on wood, I'm so grateful right now that they are not affected. But in all the people and volunteers I've met with type 1, they don't want to play the victim. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of times they'll keep this really, really close, and they won't tell everyone. Especially imagine, you know, a teenage girl. She's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. She doesn't want to tell anyone because she just doesn't want to be different. Kids are so ashamed of having to step outside the classroom and have a snack if their blood sugar goes low, or TCAPs are coming up. I had a group of families over the weekend talking about how difficult TCAPs were, because when you have all that stress involved with the test, your blood sugar goes up, and you might be in the 500s, and you're not allowed to take that test, so you have to go sit in a room by yourself. And that is just so hard and hurtful for people to be singled out and be different. So a lot of times people do keep it quiet, but we're trying to get more events and more awareness, more education about this disease so that people don't have to feel ashamed about it. You know, it's just something you deal with, and wear your pump and wear your blood sugar monitors, you know, with pride, and because we're part of a special club. Those mm-hmm. who are affected, they know what the others go through that are dealing with this disease.
And hopefully the research that many fundraisers that you have and the reason JDRF is here will lead to a cure.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. When we were founded in 1970 by a group of parents, we were very, very focused on a cure. What we've realized is that the cure is more complicated. The immune system and the body is more, it changes, it continues to change, and this disease is very, very complex. So a new phrase that we're adopting, and one that I want to put out there, it's the title is Less Until None. And less until none means reducing the burden of type 1 diabetes through technology, therapies, better insulins, giving the best life possible to people with type 1 until there is none. Because the cure is maybe not going to be a magic bullet, but it is coming. We've got things coming in the near term, such as the artificial pancreas that we've talked about one other time that combines current technology and just gives the pump the ability to talk to your continuous glucose monitor, and that takes the human brain out of it, where it's doing all the math for you, mm-hmm. which is really cool. That's coming in the near future, and that will feel like a cure for some people. But yeah, a lot is coming down the pike, and eventually the biological cure is coming for all those who suffer with type 1, and we're in it for the long haul.
Even those who have maybe had the insulin pumps for many years now find more freedom in knowing that they could use the smaller pod, like you were mentioning just a second ago. You know, even something like that offers more freedom and limits the intrusion in their life.
Absolutely. I mean, life is getting easier and better through technology, and things are happening so rapidly that I feel like it's such an exciting time to be a part of this disease, because those who are involved right now, we will be known as the people who find a cure for diabetes. It's coming very, very close, and we're all so excited about the enthusiasm in the community for this cause.
Jessica Clark with JDRF joining us today. And Jessica, I want to give you a chance to talk about Relay Rutherford, which is coming up on May the 4th. And tell us all about that long 55-mile relay across the county.
Well, it is a really crazy event, probably the largest in scale event as far as miles covered that I've ever been a part of as a race director. In my spare time, I love to run, and I'm part of some different, you know, fitness groups. But those who are involved in the running community know that once you've done a 5K or a 10K or even a half marathon, you start to want to try something different. So this is an event that's unlike any other 5K, 10K you've done, in that you have a team of 5 or 10 people. We start at one end of the county in Eagleville. So we're going to be starting, this year is our second year doing the race. We start at Eagleville High School, and we take off running, and we end up finishing the race at Stonecrest in Smyrna. So it takes almost all day, at least a half a day, depending on your speed of your team. We've got checkpoints set up every 2 to 5 miles along the course with water and food and fruit and snacks and goodies and cheering squads to cheer you on along the way. So if you have a team of 5 people, each runner will run 3 times during the day for a total of about 10 miles total. So the event's kind of different in that you're running all day long. It's not a breakneck pace. You're out there having fun, and it's so much fun, because at the end of the day we have a big celebration party and a DJ, and it's all about getting to the finish line and finishing those 50, 53, 55 miles to raise funds for diabetes research.
It's like a rolling race. You start at, do the checkpoints once everyone goes through, then they break down, do they set up in other places, or how does that work?
Well, it's exactly like that. It's kind of a leapfrog effect. Mm-hmm. Some people are familiar with another race that goes from Chattanooga to Nashville called the Ragnar Race Series. That race is a 2-day, 200-mile race where you have a team of 12 people. So we wanted to kind of scale down that model and actually just keep it within Rutherford County. You have a car full, an SUV full of friends. You drop one person off at the starting line, and then you meet them at the second checkpoint. You get another runner out, they start running, and you do that all day long. We do have the benefit of having a really powerful volunteer base in the county, with families with type 1 and school groups and sororities, and so we actually have every single checkpoint. At least we have all the setup requirements at each place. But yeah, they're each open for about 4 to 5 hours on the course, and then once the runners come through and they're all checked off the list, they get to clean up and go home. So it's very basic. We have a tent, water, snacks, packs, a bathroom, either indoor or a portable there for each, for all the runners at each checkpoint along the way.
So how do we get involved? How can we participate in the in Relay Rutherford coming up on May 4th?
Well, to get involved, you know, any search engine, if you just type in Relay Rutherford, it'll pull us up in the first, you know, couple of searches. You can also go to Facebook. Facebook's great because we have a Facebook event, a Facebook page. We also have a JDRF Murfreesboro page to stay involved and in touch with everything JDRF Murfreesboro. We are part of the larger Middle Tennessee chapter. So there's, no matter where you live, if you're in the listening area and you live in Shelbyville, Tullahoma, McMinnville, we've got something going on where you live. And we just encourage everyone to visit us online at Relay Rutherford 2013 and get signed up. We ask that the team captain go on and register their team, and then they actually collect all the registration fees from their team.
And it's as easy as just finding you online somewhere, and all the information that anyone would need would be right there for them.
Absolutely. And they can, you know, they can always just email me. My info's on there if they have any questions. But yeah, we just, anyone that's looking to do something different to raise funds, we would love to have you. And this is such a cool event that touches every little corner and of the county. It really gets the entire community involved.
And the money helps to fund the research that's going on now into type 1.
It does. And this is different than some charity events in that all the money raised goes directly to the charity. This isn't a race company, you know, making some money and then a little bit goes to the charity, which some of these races are. All the money goes to JDRF to help fund research to find a cure for diabetes. And we just are so grateful for everyone in the community coming out. So if you know any runners, be sure and tell them about this and get them out here to enjoy this awesome event that's taking place on May 4th in Murfreesboro. So it's coming right up.
Won't be that far away. Jessica, thank you so much for coming by. Anything else you need to plug before we get away?
I think that's it. We look forward to seeing you soon, Brian.
All right. Sounds good. May 4th is the date for Relay Rutherford, and more information about JDRF can be found online. Just head to Facebook or do a Google search or Bing, whatever you like to use, your preferred search engine, let's say, and do a search for JDRF Murfreesboro, and you'll find lots of information there. That's going to wrap up this portion of the show. We'll be right back here in just a moment as you listen to Rutherford Issues.
Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro.